You're listening to More Than Steps, the podcast where we geek out on how belly dance works, one coffee run at a time. I'm your hostess, Nadira Jamal.
Do you remember when you learned how to ride a bike? I do. I had a pink and gray Huffy with a banana seat and tassels, and it was so cool. It also came with training wheels, which were a big help to me while I learned how to pedal and steer. And eventually I got good enough at it that I could ride to the corner store. But I couldn't keep up with my older sister. She could ride all the way to the park by herself because she didn't need training wheels anymore. So eventually I had to face that moment when the training wheels came off and I had to balance on my own. I remember how exhilarating that moment was. It was terrifying, but I felt like I was flying. But what I didn't think about very often since then was about what happened next. See, when I tried to stop the bike, I stumbled and I almost fell off entirely. That scared me so much that I didn't want to get back on. But I also didn't want my sister to leave me behind. So I tried it over and over again. I wobbled a lot. I fell off several more times, but eventually I got steadier. And riding that bike stopped being so scary and started to feel natural. And so we put away the training wheels for good. When I started Belly Dance Geek 10 years ago, there were no training wheels for improvisation. Most dancers learned to improvise when our teachers put on some music and said, "Okay, dance now." And the thing is, that actually does work, but it is so terrifying that many students give up on improv, and in some cases on dance entirely, before they get there. So I decided to reverse engineer what dancers actually do when we improvise, break that down into a set of manageable skills, and then teach those skills step by step. That's been the heart of the work that we've done here at Belly Dance Geek. And just like learning to pedal with training wheels, breaking down improv makes learning it much easier and much less scary. But eventually you do still have to face that moment when the training wheels come off. And just like me and my bike, you have to face it over and over again before you get it. In short, you have to practice improv. But the fastest way to get those training wheels off for good is with a specific kind of practice, tiny and frequent. We tend to think of practice as something that you do for an hour or even 2 hours at a time, but shorter sessions and even tiny ones can be very effective. And when it comes to improv, they can even be more effective. Think of it like studying in school. Cramming for a test doesn't work as well as studying in smaller doses over time. In the same way, complex skills like improv stick better if you practice them in many shorter sessions. This is partly because short sessions are more sustainable. In the long term, you'll rack up a lot more practice doing smaller sessions consistently than you do in longer sessions that you're more likely to skip. Shorter practice sessions also have another advantage. They work better because of the fatigue effect. When you're practicing improv, what you're really practicing is decision making. You have to analyze what's happening in the music, decide how to respond, and then execute on that decision. And that is a lot more tiring for your brain than working on technique, which is really about muscle memory, or choreography, which is primarily about memorization. And so the longer your practice session is, the more likely you are to wear out your brain, stop making fresh decisions, and fall back on the same patterns. Frequent practice also has another benefit, sleep. When you practice frequently instead of in one batch, you sleep in between your sessions. Sleep is when your brain cements new information that you've learned and physical skills that you're working on. So when you encounter a challenge during a practice session, you literally improve it by sleeping on it before you tackle it again the next day. So you have the opportunity to make more breakthroughs if you do several tiny practice sessions than in one large or even moderate one. So how do you get in tiny practice? Well, here's what I recommend. Show up every day, or even just every weekday, and improvise to one song. That's it. If you're having fun and you know you have a lot of time, you can do a little more, but there is no extra credit for that. If you improvise to one song, you have succeeded for the day. In fact, 51 of us practiced for just one song per day earlier this month as part of the Daylight Saving Practice Challenge, and it was fantastic. Not everybody was practicing improv, but everybody found that they made marked improvements in their skills. Now, I recommend that you do this about the same time every day so that you can make it a habit. And the morning is the most reliable time for most people. Even if you're not a morning person, and I am so not a morning person, you are much more likely to show up than after work or in the evening when you're depleted from your workday, and you're much more likely to be interrupted later in the day. Since it's only one song, maybe 3 to 5 minutes, it's easy to squeeze into your morning routine, after your morning coffee, after you brush your teeth, and so on. But any time of day is fine as long as you're likely to show up reliably. Warming up first is always a good idea, but if you're worried about squeezing in the time, you can often skip a warm-up or just do a light one. Now, obviously, if you have injuries or other physical concerns, or if you're going to do more demanding things like floor work or back bends, you definitely need to warm up. So pay attention to your body. But how much can you actually achieve in practicing for just one song? The answer is a lot. Let's look at the numbers. Let's say you improvise for 1 5-minute per song per day. In fact, let's say you practice every weekday, not every day. Personally, I don't practice on weekends. And to be realistic, let's say that you only practice for 48 weeks out of the year. That means we'd be skipping 4 whole weeks for vacations, holidays, sick days, and slip-ups. I'd say that's pretty realistic. So in 5 minutes a day, 5 days per week for 48 minutes, that adds up to 20 hours of practice by the end of the year. That is a lot. And if it doesn't sound like a lot to you, think about it this way. A full nightclub routine lasts about half an hour. So one song per day is the equivalent of doing 40 nightclub sets. And that, my friends, is how you earn your chops. Now, to get the most out of your tiny practice, make sure that you choose your songs wisely. Do pick a song you love, but not one that you've used for a choreography in the past. After working so hard to memorize it, it will be very hard to shut off your muscle memory. You should also avoid songs that are not a good fit for your skill level. If the pace, the rhythm, or the style is a stretch for you, then you'll blow your entire attention budget trying to keep up with the music and improvise at the same time. I also recommend that you don't repeat the same song too frequently. It's okay to come back to songs that you love, but if you use them too many times in a row, you'll often settle into the same ideas instead of thinking on your feet. We call this de facto choreography. Now, all that said, once you get more comfortable with improv, the opposite is true. Challenging yourself to make fresh choices to songs you've choreographed or repeated a lot, or improvising to tough music will really stretch your creativity. But that is a black belt technique. Save that for later. Let's summarize what we've covered. Here at Belly Dance Geek, we've made a lot of resources to serve as training wheels to help you learn to improvise without the terror. But eventually, you still have to face riding the improv bike on your own. That is terrifying, and you probably will fall off, probably several times. And so the best way to get past that point is with tiny, frequent practice of improvisation. It's more sustainable than marathon sessions, less likely to fatigue your brain, and it has the benefit of letting you sleep on your challenges in between sessions, which can help you overcome them faster. So try improvising for just one song every day, or even every weekday. Pick a song you love, that you're not too familiar with, and that's a good fit for your skill level. Just like riding a bike for the first time, it may feel wobbly early on, but you'll be amazed at how much easier it gets, even after just a couple of weeks. Now, for many people, the biggest roadblock is making time to practice, even when it comes to tiny one-song sessions. So if that's a challenge for you, join us for How to Build a Sustainable Practice Habit. In this 9-week online course, Heather Wayman and I will help you make practice a consistent part of your daily routine. You can stick with a tiny practice every day or ramp up to as much as an hour over the period of the course. The course starts January 14th, 2019, so check it out now at bellydancegeek.com/practice-habit. We also have a DIY version that's available year-round at bellydancegeek.com/store. But you don't want to miss out on the group support and personal help from Heather and me that comes with the live version of the class.
Thanks for listening. For more Geektacular resources, visit bellydancegeek.com.